It's going to be a long time. It's going to be a long time until the Mishpat will come forth. Lanetzach here does not mean forever, because ultimately, V'hoya Hashem l'melech al kol ha'aretz. But in this context, the words V'lo yetzei lanetzach mishpat means that it's not going to happen for a very long time. Why? Ki rasha machtir es hatzadik. We had different perushim what this means. One perush is that the rasha, he encircles, just like a crown goes around 360 degrees the head of a person, the rasha encircles, entraps the tzaddik, and there's no way out. And the other interpretation we gave was ki rasha machter tzaddik, the rasha is appointing in a position of leadership. He's putting upon the tzaddik the keser, but he's making demands that the tzaddik behave in a corrupt way. Therefore, yetzei mishpat mu'kol, the mishpat comes forth crooked. Either, like we said, because since the rasha is machtir, he is encircling, he is preventing the tzaddik from succeeding. So there's not going to be a mishpat that is correct, that is yashor. Instead, it's going to be crooked. Or, as we learned, or because he's putting in position a tzaddik, the rasha is the person who's in charge, and the rasha is making demands of how to judge. So the tzaddik's mishpat is, again, it's the same idea, it was mukol. The word mukol here is keneged the word yoshar. Ordinarily, the word is what's the pasuk? There's a pasuk I don't remember at this point. There's a pasuk that compares yashus to tzaddikim, and here when the tzaddik is abused, is prevented from conducting himself the way he wishes, it is mi'ukal. Now we learned this week the mitzudos, the Rashi, and the Radak. Let's take a look at the Malba. No, we did the Malbum. Okay, we did the Malbum.
Yeah, I think where we had left off, you were speaking about, I have a note here, replacement theology.
Right. Okay, that was in the Malbum. That was in the Malbum, right? The Malbum.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay, so let's now take a look at the Biuri Hagra. The Biuri Hagra you do not have in front of you. So I'll read it very quickly and summarize it. Just give me a moment. Get something over here. Okay, let's learn over here the Biuri Hagro. The Biuri Hagro is Al Kenev Tog Toyra Velo Yetzel Lenetzach Mishpat. Ki Rosh Machter Es Hatzadik, and you don't have this. I'm just going to read this and summarize what it says. The Gra, Chavakuk, Rabbi Kalis, welcome. Chavakuk, Perik Aleph, Pasuk Dalid. Ritzoy Neloimar Al Derech Mash Anem B'Yishaya Limdu Heitev Dirshu Mishpat Ashru Chomoitz Ayin Shom V'chan Kosav Neged Tar'eni Oven V'Omol V'Yimkein Kula Shukarim Al Kein Tofik Torah Ritzoy Neloimar Kmosh Amru La'afuke Din Miruma. Okay, let's just go and we very quickly V'Neged Mash Amar Shud V'Chomos L'Negdi Ritzoy Neloimar B'Tmidus Al Ze'omol V'Lezin Al Mishpat Ha'inu Kmosh Amru Mishrabu Haratzchonim When the Ratzchonim were increased. Butlu ki ain efshal asayis mishpat b'chol eis v'chol shah v'gneg mashnama v'hi riv modoin. Okay, so he's just coming to really summarize what we learned before. Without you seeing it inside, it's not so easy. We'll leave it with that. Let us go to one word, the Sipurno. The Sipurno is one of my favorites. The Sipurno is a fascinating person and a fascinating parish. And he writes here, Tofuk Torah, Bigolis Yehoyachin Shagolu Hechorosh Vehamasker. These are the two magic words. Everyone knows the story of the Churban, 11 years before Nebuchadnezzar destroyed the Beis HaMikdash and exiled Tzidkiyahu. He first took down to Bavel Yehoyachin, together with about 11,000 people, who the Pasuk calls the chorosh v'hamasker. Al derech peshat, who were these 10,000 people? These were people that they were the skilled laborers. Chorosh means the craftsman, v'hamasker, and the people that would the defense department. The people that would, the gatekeepers. Now, the alderch pshat, the gatekeepers mean, it means the military. The people that were what we call today in the United States, the Defense Department. The Defense Department, the Pentagon, he took everyone who worked in the Pentagon, every single person who ever worked in the Pentagon, he collected them, and he gathered them up, and he took them down to Golis because these people were a threat to him. They had the knowledge, the know-how, the expertise in conducting war. And as long as these people were living in Yerushalayim, it would be a threat to the Nebuchadnezzar. The Chorosh means the engineers, the people who build the airplanes, who build the cars, the craftsmen, the people who work for GM. These people were a threat because they're the ones who can manufacture weapons that could fight, can fight. So the Pshuto Shel Mikra is that 10 years...
Or could be added. Produce for his benefit.
Interesting idea. You're saying something very interesting. I hear what you're saying.
He imported the best and the brightest in Neil and friends.
Okay, that's a very interesting idea what you're saying. I never heard that before. I really like what you're saying. He's saying that he took these people for himself, just like we know with clarity today that after World War II, all of the nations of the world were fighting to take the German scientists. Instead of putting them on trial for crimes against humanity, they secretly tried to smuggle them into their country, change their names, and work for the government and use their brains for the benefit of the country that succeeded in getting a hold of them. Maybe there were some brilliant scientists that it was actually a race. If you read some of the information, some of the stories, it's unbelievable what happened at the end of World War II. And there was a race between the United States and Russia and other countries who can get some of the most brilliant German scientists, engineers, bring them to their country and have them work for their country. So Ramchal is suggesting that's exactly what Nebuchadnezzar was doing al derech pshat. The chorosh...
That's how I've understood the medrash on that as selecting people with useful skill sets.
It's very, very fascinating. Because I never heard that. I always heard the derech pshat is these were people that were a threat. These were people that knew how to conduct war. These were people who knew how to build weapons. They were a threat, and the threat had to be eliminated, and the best way to do so was to take these 11,000 people and bring them down to Bavel. Once they were in Bavel, what did they do? They did nothing. They just sat on their porch and twiddled their thumbs. You're saying something very different. You're saying they were put to work. They were taken down to Bavel specifically so they can their brains can be used to help Bavel further develop weapons and talent and do things to the benefit of Bavel. That is a very interesting idea. But what they teach us in yeshiva, and they Baruch Hashem, they've done such a good job in telling us what I'm about to tell you, that most yeshiva boys don't even know what I just said before. That the Pashup Shot of the Chorosh Vahamasker means the Chorosh, the craftsman, and the Masker, the gatekeepers, which really means the Defense Department. It means the Talmidei Chachamim. The Chorosh comes from the word Cheresh. Cheresh means a deaf mute. And what this means, the Talmidei Chachamim that was so super brilliant, when you would ask them a question, they would give you an answer that was so sharp, so on the mark, like Mark Plotnick. It was so sharp, so on the mark, that the people that were listening would have nothing to say. They would be like a deaf mute, which a deaf mute, more than not being able to hear, does not have the ability to speak, to communicate. What does it mean, v'hamasker? Hamasker means their word was final. When there was a debate and they expressed an opinion, the brilliance, the clarity of their ideas was so clear, there was nothing more to say. The case is closed. The discussion is over. The meeting is over. That's what it means. They took down the Talmidei Chachamim. They were taken down to Bavel. Why would Nebuchadnezzar want to select the elite, the Talmidei Chachamim? So I guess he really understood what Jewish continuity is all about. Jewish continuity. Nebuchadnezzar was no fool. Nebuchadnezzar knew that Jewish continuity is all about education. Jewish education. And as long as there were Talmidei Chachamim living in Yerushalayim, no matter what he would do to try to dampen the spirits and the heroism of Klal Yisrael, it would be worthless. As long as there are people sitting and learning Torah, there is nothing that he would be able to do to succeed in bringing about the downfall of Jewish people. For 11 years, he took away the Talmidei Chachamim. He let the state remain in existence for 11 years with no Torah. And he worked. Believe it or not, it worked. By taking away the Talmidei Chachamim, he took away Jewish education. What did everyone else in Klal Yisrael do the whole day? They went to public school. There was no Jewish education. So after 11 years of no Jewish education, to come and march upon Yerushalayim and destroy it was a piece of cake. Nebuchadnezzar was no fool. So he really presented over here three ideas of what it means, the Choresh v'Hamasker. The Pashup Shat, these were people who were a threat to him. Number two, Reb Michal, these were people who he wanted to take advantage of and to use for the betterment of his own country. And number three, what Chazal tell us, these were the Talmidei Chachamim, and as long as there was Jewish education, he would not succeed. He took away the Jewish education from Klal Yisrael, and that's why they're able to succeed. However, this was a blessing in disguise because they went down to Bavel 11 years in advance. Yes?
I just wanted to add something. The Panovich wrote the Kremel of Rocha, when he would talk about the Holocaust, he would say the modus operandi of the Nazis, Yimach Shemam, when they would come into a city, they would go and single out the Rav and either shoot him or humiliate him in public so that the people should be demoralized.
Exactly.
That's what you're saying.
That was their technique. They also recognized, they studied the Klal Yisrael very, very carefully, the Nazis, Yimach Shemam v'Zichram. That's why a lot of the things on every Yom Tov in the camps, in Auschwitz, or all the various concentration camps, all these labor camps, a Yom Tov was a day that they took advantage of. They would force them to eat on Yom Kippur. They would mock them on the Chagim and the Zmanim. Absolutely. And also, that was a very big dilemma, the Vad Hatzalah. That was a very, very big dilemma. Gedolei Yisrael, when there were limited number of people that can be saved, who should they save? Should they save children? Should they save Talmidei Chachamim? Who can answer these questions? I mean, the children are the future. But on the other hand, if there's no leadership to guide these children, to nurture and to develop these children, then what's the advantage? What's going to be of these children? So the delicate balance of those situations where there was limited opportunity to save people, who should be saved? It's a heart-wrenching decision. And these ideas all come into play. Look at Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar, he took the Choresh v'Hamasker, three Pirushim, those that were a threat to him, those that he can use to his advantage for his own country to develop their technology and have them advance forward, and the Talmidei Chachamim, who he knew were the secret to Jewish continuity. Once they were eliminated, they were removed from Yerushalayim, there would be a natural spiritual decay that would occur in Yerushalayim, and that would make it so much easier for him to attack and succeed 11 years later. And here comes the Sipurno. You probably do not have this in front of you. The Sipurno says, Tafuk Torah, Begalus Yehoyachin Shagalu HaChodesh VaHamasker. It's all he says. And what he basically is alluding to is idea number three. Idea number three is that the Talmidei Chachamim were removed from Yerushalayim. And if there was no spiritual leadership left in Yerushalayim, the Jewish education suffered enormously. Tafug Torah. Torah here means the Torah HaKedoshah. We learned on Friday, we're not going to review this in detail, but we learned on Friday that not all the commentators learned the word Torah to refer to spiritual Torah. Many of the commentators take the word Torah in more of a literal translation. Torah means instruction. The literal translation of Torah means instruction, hoira, and it can be used in a secular form. It could mean that when there is no leadership, when the Rasha Nebuchadnezzar has come to power and he appoints to the bench corrupt judges, then there's no law and order. The instructions of law and order have weakened, have fallen to the side. Everything is corrupt. Who says the word Torah in this pasuk has a spiritual context of Torah min hashamayim? We have the expression that Torah is min hashamayim. Who says that's what it means over here? Well, the Sipurno certainly says that's what it means over here, because he ties together with Golos Yoyachin Shagolu Chodesh Hamasker, and he's obviously referring over here to the Maamar Chazal. HaChodesh VaHamasker means the Talmidei Chachamim, who, when they spoke, everyone was silent. When they said something, they had the last word. They closed the meeting with their brilliance. And if there are no Talmidei Chachamim present in Eretz Yisrael, there is no Jewish education, and the Torah HaKedoshah, the Torah min HaShemayim, has now been weakened, and that is a very, very great Chorban for Klal Yisrael. V'lo yetzei, and then he goes further in the next statement of the Sipurno, V'lo yetzei lo netzach mishpat la'amitoi, there's no emes. Shloi nish'aru zulosi dalas am haaretz. There's nothing left but the dalas means the lowest of the people. Uvichein ba'isim hadalim ha'nesharim hoya harosha seviv es ha'tzadikim kol tzad la'achrisoi la'achrichoi la'asois kirtzoin harosha shloi kadin. This goes back to what we learned before. He's not saying anything that we did not learn until yet. Al ken yetze mishpat mu'ukol b'yushalayim ha'choyso kodim l'chein mi mile'asi mishpat. He wants to contrast the term mishpat mu'ukol with what it says in Yeshaya, mi le'asi mishpat. Yerushalayim was the model, the paradigm of mishpat, and now it has sunk to the lowest level that we call it the place that the mishpat is mu'ukol. Okay, that pretty much concludes pasuk dalit. Let's now go to pasuk hey. Ru'u v'agoyim v'habitu v'hitamu timohu. Look among the nations and v'habitu, look carefully. This is an expression, a play on the words, two words, ru'u and v'habitu, v'hi tamuhu timohu, two words, a play on the words, be in a state of bewilderment. What is the bewilderment? Ki fo'al po'el bimechem, Hashem is going to do something amazing in your days. Loi Sa'aminu ki yisupar. This is a very popular expression. It's very interesting that here in the Peshuto Shel Mikra, this expression is not a good thing. It's not a very good thing. And yet we have adapted it, we have extracted, and we use it in the positive sense. Loi sa'aminu ki yisupar, amazing good things. It's very common we do that. We do that very often. Chazal, it's not nothing bad because Chazal do it. Chazal very often take words out of Tanakh, which according to the vast majority of the commentators are not very pleasant expressions in the Pshuto Shel Mikra, in the context of where of how they're used, and we use it for good things. Here is a very beautiful expression, Lo Saminu Ki Yisupar. Yisupar means to discuss, to speak about it. Sipur Yitzias Mitzrayim. Loisaminu, you won't even believe it. If I would tell you about the good things that are about to happen in this world, you'll never believe it. You'll tell me you're dreaming. You're in La La Land. You've taken some drug that has damaged your sense of reality. You're living in a world of fantasy. Loisaminu ki yisupar. It's not believable the things that I'm about to tell you. Now, that's a very nice way to say things in a positive sense. But that's not what it means here in the Pshutoi Shel Migra. Let's see over here the pasuk in the Metzudos. In the Metzudos pasuk, hey, if you have the Metzudos in front of you, Ru'u v'agoyim, Ru'u ha-memsholo v'hanitzachon ha-naseh bu'umois elu aleilu. Look at the world wars. They're about to happen. V'habitu. Memsheles v'nitzachon nevuchadnetzar v'hismuhu me'oid. Nevuchadnetzar is about to show up. And when he comes to town, he will wage war, he will conduct battles, and he will be victorious and destroy the world as we know it. Ki ein lecharich nitzachoin, kol umois lahan nitzachoin shol Nebuchadnezzar. You cannot equate the success that Nebuchadnezzar will have compared to the success that other nations have had in their conduct, in their affairs. Why? Because he keep poel. Ki devar nitzchoy Nebuchadnezzar tia bimeichem. It will be in your days. V'siru oisa. You will see it. V'sismuhu oz. You will be in a state of bewilderment. Ki hein lo yedati lo yisaminu im yisipor. Ki hu devar hayotze mehekesh hativi. Because this is something which is not believable. It's not part of the world of reality. It is difficult to understand. It's impossible for you to believe what I'm about to tell you. Let me just read the passage one more time. Just literally, one more time. Ru'uva goyim. Over here, Chavakuk is speaking, and he's saying, "See, amongst the nations, v'habitu. See what is going to happen." Look what's going to happen. V'hitamu timahu, and be in a state of bewilderment. He's predicting that days are coming when you're going to read the newspaper, you're going to go online, and you're going to read about what this wicked nation will do, what he will accomplish. You're going to look, and you're going to gaze, you're going to study, and you are going to be in a state of shock. Ki po'al po'el bimechem. He will do these things. These things will come true in your own lifetime. And you're not going to believe me when I'm going to tell you. Lo yisaminu ki yisupar. Even if I try to tell you what's going to happen, you're not going to believe me. Let's see Rashi. Rashi, pasik, hey. Okay, Rashi goes into the next pasuk. Let's read the next pasuk. Let's in fact read the next pasuk. Pasuk Vav. Ki hinani mekim al hakastim hagoy hamar v'hanimor ha'holich. I'm going to rise up es hakastim. And here the pasuk here describes in two words the essence of this nation. They are called hamar. They are bitter people. That's a very frightening expression. The Hanimhor. Hanimhor is not an easy word to translate. There are going to be different translations in the commentators. Over here, the Mitzvah says simply means swift. They are people who are very quick. That was his technique. Maybe you can help me. The Blitzkrieg. Hitler, Yemach Shemoy, his technique was swiftness. Okay, what is it called in English? What was the term in German? Blitzkrieg? Is that how you pronounce it?
Blitzkrieg. Like a lightning strike.
Lightning strike. That was his technique. That was his unique, in modern times, his unique technique is Blitzkrieg. It's lightning fast attack. And this is a translation, a very good translation for the word Vahanim Har. Hitler did not invent this technique. This technique was invented by Nebuchadnezzar. Haholech lemer chavei eretz. He will travel to the ends of the earth. Loreshes, to possess mishkonois, dwelling places, loy, that he has no place. Places that he has absolutely no business going to. He will not hold himself back and will attempt to succeed. Hitler, yimach shmo v'zichro, he wanted to come to America. That was part of his plan. His plan was to cross the... Yeah?
He wanted to conquer the world.
Conquer the world. There's no doubt about it. His pride and joy was to cross the Atlantic and come and take over America. It's clear as day. That was his goal. And they all say, people in America, whoever in America were all survivors. Because al derech hateva, those who study war, if things went his way, he could have done it. He would have succeeded. It's not a joke. He could have crossed the Atlantic and could have come and conquered America, to conquer the entire world. This is, Pasuk is describing Nebuchadnezzar, but as we know more often than not, there are a lot of echoes in the words of the Nevi'im that describe modern day affairs. And this Pasuk, if you describe this in reference to him, to Hitler, it wouldn't be any different. Ki hinni mekim es hakasdim, I'm going to bring upon you the kasdim with barbarians. We mentioned this many, many times, the Babylonians, and they were the Kastim. The Kastim were mercenaries, people that were just non-human, non-human, to absolutely no limitation in what they would do. And the Babylonians appeared to be more cultured, and they hired, or they had at their hands, the Kastim, were under their authority, and they did for them the dirty work. I was reading the memoir from Label Zisman. Anyone know who Label Zisman is? Label Zisman was a Chabad Chosid. He used to daven in my father's shul in the Ungizlov Avenue J. I remember him very, very well. I never knew all these things I read about him. He wrote a memoir. He's no longer living. And I remember him very well. I remember him so well, and his wife, Tibot L'chaim Toiv Maruchim, and his family. And so he wrote a memoir. He was in Auschwitz. Memoir is absolutely astonishing. And one of the things that he writes in his memoir is that the people, the soldiers who worked in Auschwitz, were the lowest of the low. Anyone, any Nazi, any German that had any dignity, any stature whatsoever, was on the battlefield. They were not assigned to work in Auschwitz. Who do they put in Auschwitz? They put there the garbage of the garbage, the lowest of the low. They were the ones who worked in Auschwitz. And that was a curse. It was a curse, because having these low lives who have absolutely no sense of anything to deal to do what they did, it was a curse. And in Babel, in ancient Babylon, when we talk about Nebuchadnezzar, we always have to remember there is Babel and the Kastim. The Babylonians were the cultured element of society. They were the political leaders. They are the ones who had a certain culture. The Kastim were just barbarians. And they are always the ones we find in Tanakh doing the dirty work. And here it says, Hidi mekim es hakastim, I'm going to rise up against you, the Kastim. Who are they? They are Hagoy Hamar. They're lowlifes. Lowlifes. And we call them Mar. He over here in the Mitzudos, he translates the word Mar, means Mar Nefesh. Mar Nefesh. Now, what is Mar? Bitter? Ritzon Eloimar Achzori. In the Mitzudos Sion, he types the word Mar to be cruel people. The Hanimar, they were lightning quick in their cruelty. They traveled to the ends of the earth to bring destruction. Okay, look at let's see the Mitzudos done very quickly. Can he make him? Ritzon Eloimar Mishiflusam Okim Esakastim. I'm going to bring to power from their lowliness, the kastim, shugoy mar nefesh, v'achzori, they're cruel, v'nimhar, b'masav, in their deeds, mibli yishuv hadas, okay, v'nimhar, so he is over here saying something a little bit different. V'nimhar means they don't think things through. They don't want to look at the consequences of their actions. They do things which are harmful for themselves, but it's not beneficial for us. And what are they going to do? They're going to conquer the entire world. Rashi, Pasuk Hei Vav, on page 584, if you have this edition, Loisaminu ki yisupar zois lochem. You're not going to believe if I would tell you what's going to happen. Asher ani mekim esakastim ha'am ashalok lo haya kedai lihi bor ois. These are people that it was not worthy to create. The Gemara Masechta Sukkah says there are three things which HaKadosh Baruch Hu has charata that he created. And one of them is the kastim. And now they're going to rise up and it's going to be bitter. And you're going to swiftly run l'merchave to the edges, artzeis kol hagoyim.
He translates it here as impetuous.
Impetuous. Hanimar is impetuous. Okay, now, this idea...
Be bitter and yeah.
What does impetuous mean?
Impetuous to run and march all these things.
So there are a few...
They do things on a whim.
On a whim, without any thought. Like the Mitzvah says, without appreciating the consequences of their actions. Now, there are two things that need to be discussed. Chazal tell us, Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel argued for 2.5 years if it was kedai for a person to be created. Was it kedai? Was it worthy? You had a choice. If you had a choice, should I come to this world? Would it have been better not to come to this world? No, it's a good idea to come. It's a good idea to come to this world. And after 2.5 years, they took a vote. Nimnu v'gamru, and the vote was, Noyach loy le'odom sheloy nivra. It would have been much better for man not to be created. Why? So there are different reasons, but many of the commentators, they take a hint from the word, they took account. What did they count? Take a vote? What kind of vote is this? Who cares? This is not a halachic principle which needs a vote to decide is it mutter or is it osur? What kind of vote? It means they counted the mitzvahs. There are more lois aseis than aseis. There are more negative commandments than positive commandments. There are 365 negative commandments and only 248 positive commandments. So there's much more of a chance you're going to mess up than you're going to do good. So therefore, noyach loy la'adam sheloy nivra. But v'yachshav shenivra. But no one gave us a choice. We're all sitting here around the table, the virtual table of Zoom. We're all sitting around here. As Rav Michal said, he asked the Shiloh, Rav Michal, can you make a mezumen on Zoom? Can you make a mezumen, a zuman on Zoom? A mezum in on Zoom. So we're sitting here on the virtual table, but now they're already here, no one asked us. Yefashvesh b'masav, you have to look into your deeds, you have to behave yourself, and you have to go and do the best that you possibly can. So here's the question. How can Chazal say that HaKadosh Baruch Hu only count there are three things that he regretted, and one of the regrets he has in this world is the fact that these creatures were created, called a kastim. What about us? What about us? Noyach loy la'adam sheloy nivra. It would have been better that we have not been created. Okay? Torah lavashamayimi, if Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel took a vote and the conclusion of the vote is Noyach loy la'adam sheloy nivra, the Ribbono shel Olam must be maskim to this decision, to this vote. And therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu should have four things which he had charata on the kastim, whatever the other three things are, which I don't know, and charata that he created us. Because noyach loyel adam shloy nivra. So the answer is, a very simple answer, is that it's true. It would have been better that we should not have been created, but once we're here, it's already kedai. It's already worthy. Maybe a nachanami would have been better that we had not been created. But now that we're here already, take advantage. Make the most of the situation. For the kastim, that principle does not apply. Because by the kastim, now that they're here, it's still kedai that they're not here. Because the kastim, and this really opens up exactly what it says in the Mitzudas David, there's no such thing as yifashpesh b'ma'asav. As of a kelim.
No, there's something else.
Yeah.
It's noyach loy la'adam shaloy nivra. It's not for the kachim barchu.
I know, but that's what I tried to address by saying that once the vote... Once the vote was taken, okay, he's saying a different idea.
You know, sometimes when you think about some people around, maybe they should have been aborted. But here, that's what I'm saying.
Okay, but once man can say about it, every person can say about himself, this is what it's a shocking Gemara. But every single person can say about himself, Noyach loy la'adam sheloy nivra. It would have been better had I not been created. But now that I'm here,
But the reason for Noyach loy la'adam sheloy nivra is because he has more mitzvahs loisa.
Right, I said that, right.
So therefore, you know, you've got so many things you can do.
Right. What's the bottom line? The bottom line is noyach loy laadam sheloy nivra. Beishamai Beis Hillel took a vote, and the vote was sheloy nivra. Torah lav bashamayim. So the Ribbono sheloy must be maskim to the psak of the Bezdin Shalmata, and the Bezdin Shalmata says sheloy nivra. So therefore, the Ribbono Shlolem should say, "Nu I have charata, I created man." So why do Chazal only say the charata Hashem has regarding the kasdim? Am lo hoya. It should be concerning even us. And the answer is exactly what the pasuk here says. Rav Kalis, you touched upon this. Hanimhar. Because what did Chazal say? V'yachshav shenivra. Nu, what do you want? Now we're already here. What are we gonna do about it? What are you gonna do about it? Before you do something, think. Yifash beish b'masav means don't act impetuously. Don't be a nimhar. Don't be a marva hanimhar. The kastim don't have that ability to be yimash beish b'masav. Because the essence of the kastim is hanimhar. They're impetuous. Oh, they don't have yifashvesh b'masav. So the charota extends further by humanity. Nu, toiv lo shloi nivra. But you come to a point, the achshav shenivra, nu, let's make the best out of it. But by the kastim, you don't have the achshav shenivra. Because the only mile of achshav shenivra is where you have the ability to be yifash veish b'masav. But they don't have that ability. Because what are they? The essence of the kasim is hamar. They're cruel. They're hanimar. They're impetuous. They don't understand the consequences of their actions. They cannot be yifash veish. Okay.
It could be more. Not only they don't understand, they don't care.
Right. It's all right. Exactly. It's all tali zebezeh. That's all part of it. Okay, now we go to the Radak. Radak, Pasik, Dalit. It's back in the previous page. The Radak. I'm Pasik Hei and Vav. Ru'u, Omar Kenegad Yisrael. Ru'u Bagoyim Vebitu Ki Me'ashem Yotzo Lechem HaMashchis. Who is Ru'u? Okay, this Pasha, he's speaking to Klal Yisrael. Pay attention. to what's going to happen. Vitamu timohu hakefel chazek hatema, poetic repetition. L'roiv ha-maseh ha-rasha yaseh nevuchanetzar v'hitamu mi-binyan hispael dinoi v'histamuhu dinoi he's giving the expressions v'atav hispael nivlas b'dogesh b'tav ha-sharish. He's going through some grammar, we're going to skip that part. Ki poal poal b'meichem zel eid ki b'doiroi molach nevuchanetzar v'apoel hu Hashem yisporach hu poel shem ki yisupar lochem apoel hara. He's giving some grammar, but he's telling us that it's going to happen in your lifetime. The purpose over here is he wants to go, this is something that is an important point. This is a very important point. When we study Nevi'im, we learn Nevi'im all the time here. Many times the prophecy was said concerning the future generations. It's not going to happen in your lifetime. And when the Navi makes it clear that it's not going to happen in your lifetime, then the message is, at least prepare your children. Prepare your children what's going to be in the future. Okay, I'm going to try something new now. Give me one moment. I am going to mute you all. How do you like that? Isn't that nasty? Now you could unmute yourself whenever you want to speak up. Okay, I just did something very nasty, Rabbi Yossi. I muted you all. You're all quiet. No one can hear each other. But if you want, you can unmute yourself. Okay, I just muted everyone because there was some background noise. There's a person that maybe does not know how to mute and unmute. So I muted you all. Okay, you notice that? You notice how quiet it is? It's too quiet. It's very quiet. Okay, but again, you can mute. By the way, if you can call, if you want, you can call on the telephone. If you want, you can call in by telephone. Also, I have the number on the website, on the homepage. And to mute yourself on the telephone, you press *6. That's, I think, a universal code on any teleconferencing system in the world. The way you mute yourself is by pressing *6. Global. It's a global technique. And by the way, everybody said on the website, once we're talking about this, on the website, I put a live stream of exactly this. So if you don't want to log in, if you just want to watch it, you can watch it on the website, on the homepage. It should be there. It should be working. I didn't look at it now. But on the homepage, morningkolel.com, on the top should be the Zoom. Our Zoom gathering should be streaming live. You don't have to log in. You can just watch it. The sound is a little tricky. It should work. I'm trying to tinker with it to make sure that it always works. But I encourage you very much not to just rely upon the video on the homepage, but to actually log in so we can talk to each other and we can see each other. That will greatly enhance this session. And by the way, another short thing, that if you're using your smartphone, if you turn it, on the side, I can get a better picture of you. See, right now you can see me. I'm now, what's called landscape. If I go like this, I'm portrait, which is half the size. If you turn it like this, then you can see me. Rabbi Kalis, I can see you now much better. Very good. So that way it can enhance this session. I'm going to try to also, unfortunately now I'm still using my smartphone because I've still been very busy lately. I'm getting my laptop soon where I can see all of you in one shot. To see 50 people in one shot, I can't wait for that. Now I have to use my finger to scroll to see each one at a time, but hopefully we'll soon have the lab. Hopefully this horror will be over very soon. Halavai, and then we can get back to business as usual. I'm very busy lately. You know what we're trying to do? We're trying to have on Torah Anytime Zoom Minyanim, like a land house online. Torah Anytime, 9 o'clock, 10 o'clock, not later than 10 o'clock, Shacharis. Then Mincha on the hour, you go to Torah Anytime, and we all daven together. We have a Baal Tfila who's all alone in his house, one person, no Minyanim, it's also to have a Minyan. There's no Chazor Sashatz. There's no Kaddish, there's no Kedusha, just a person to lead the davening, to say the davening Mila b'Mila, and everyone can come, we can all daven together at the same time. Many Rabbanim say that even though this is not in Halacha considered to be Tefillah b'Tzibur, because Tefillah, you need a Davar Shabbat, that's not Davar Shabbat Kedusha, you must have 10 people in one location to create Davar Shabbat Kedusha, to say Kaddish, Baruch Hu, and Kedusha, but Yemekayim, what Chazal say, that a person should be Mispalil b'zman shehatzibur Mispalilim. It would be a very great toelis for people like me who have a very hard time davening at home. My mind wanders, I'm very distracted, to daven together with everyone else at the same time. And there'll be a counter on the top which will tell you how many people will be are davening at this minyan. We could have even 10,000 people davening exactly the same time. We have a shlich tzibur, all davening together. Every year, go like Landau's, every hour on the hour, there'll be mincha, ma'ariv, shachris, until this geferlich harer comes to an end. How, is it a good idea? You like that idea? Hopefully we'll be ready by mincha today. Hopefully it'll be up by mincha today. Alavai, I hope he's working on it. We're supposed to have it done. We did yesterday something that laid the foundation for this to happen. All right, let's go weiter. Okay, if anyone wants to speak up, just unmute yourself, please, by all means, and say something. Now let's go back to the Radak. Okay, the Radak says that this will happen in your lifetime. Pasuk Vav, and Pasuk Vav in the Radak, the Vav says, Ki hinani, diber hanav b'loshen Hashem yisparach, v'hanimor, nimor b'masav lo yaskil mayaseh. You do not think. V'chein ulevav nimhorim yovin lo dasa. The other thing I wanted to mention, I've forgotten that, is the tzedoiki. If you remember the Gemara Masech Shabbos, I think it's Masech Shabbos, correct me if I'm wrong, the Tzedoki, I think he saw Abaya. Abaya was learning, and Abaya was so excited in his learning, he put his hands under his feet, and his hands began to flow with blood. Because it's not exactly clear what he did, but he was not careful in how he positioned his fingers, and the Tzedoki said, "What are you doing? Don't pay attention. When you study, you should take care of yourself. You're a nation, an impetuous nation, an am peziza." And he gave the example. Look, you said na seven nishma. Go look in your back into your history. You said to the Ribbono Shel Olam Naaseh, you're going to be mekayim the Torah before you even knew what it said. How could you do that? What kind of business? What kind of negotiator, what kind of businessman are you? Whoever goes into a business deal without first reading the fine print. You're an am peziza. How could you do nasa v'nishma? And Abaye said, sometimes, basically, it's a good thing to be impetuous. When it comes to the Ribbono Shel Olam, we have emuna. We have emuna, and when there's emuna, then it's okay. You don't have to make cheshbonos. So it's interesting over here. Our nemesis, our arch enemy, the one who destroyed the Beis HaMikdash, is Nebuchadnezzar. And Nebuchadnezzar knew what he was doing. He exiled the Chorosh v'Hamasker. He exiled precisely the people who were impetuous, the people that were just like him, who said, Nase before Nishma. The mahus of the Babylonians, or more specifically the Kazdim, are impetuousness. Hamar v'hanimar. People that don't make calculations. They just act on impulse without realizing the consequences, the ramifications of their actions. So, why are we any better? Why are we any better? We are the nation that Chazal described as an am paziza. The Tzedoki said to, I think it was Abaya, what are you doing? Pay attention. You're studying the Talmud and you're not taking care of your health. You're doing crazy things. Make cheshbonos in life. And his answer was, you're right. You know, you have to behave with seichel. Okay, you have to behave normally, but But in a chanami, we are the nation that's an ampeziza. But here's the big difference. Here is the point that is so critical that separates us from them in a way that is greater than the infinite distance that they can possibly in this world. Emuna. When there is emuna in the Ribbono Shel Olam, and that's what Abaye said in the Gemara, then you're allowed, of course, only under the guidance of your doctor and under the guidance of your rabbi, to be impetuous. You're allowed. You're allowed to say Nase before Nishma, because there's a very critical ingredient. We are Ma'aminim B'nei Ma'aminim. Now, of course, again, especially today, when they tell us, don't go outside, don't leave your house, stay away from people. It's been very lonely, Rabbi Yossi. I haven't seen a person besides my sister in a long time. Okay, it's very, very lonely out there. It's very lonely in here. But of course, you have to do what you're supposed to do. You can't be impetuous when it's a sakana. But the derech klal yisrael, the machus of klal yisrael is emuna. When there's emuna, even though everything doesn't seem to be the way it's so good, then you're okay. When there's no emuna, then you're described here in this pasuk as being a nation that's mar vehanimar, and as Rashi says, zeh ha'om lo haya. The Ribbono Shel Olam Ascharata, he created such a nation, such a people that acts before they know the details, what it says in the fine print. Exactly the point. But when you have emunah, then it's a different story. Chazal say, Shoymer Pesoyim Hashem. That's all part of that equation. The Ribbono Shel Olam, he guards the fools. Shoymer Pesoyim Hashem. You know, according to the science, what we should really be doing is, we should all of you should be wearing a mask. And we should all, I don't know, I mean, there's a limit to how far you can go. You know, we're locked up. Don't go out of the house. Mamish, don't go out of the house. No visitors. Don't let your grandchildren come a mile near you. Don't let any delivery person in the house. So then someone says to me, but if you get a delivery, someone said to me, you get a delivery from Amazon, you have to wait 24 hours before touching the box. Okay? If the mail comes, don't touch the mail for 24 hours. So I said, I mean, listen, I'm not a doctor. I'm not a, you know, but like, no, wait a minute. How far is this going to go? You know, how far are we going to go here with this? Shoymer Pesoyim Hashem. I'm all signed up. I'm not getting out of that. I'm not going nowhere. Okay, we're locked up. I mean, how far are we really going to go with this? So, Yados, there is such an element to that called Shoymer Pesoyim Hashem. There is a point in time where you have to say you're right. There may very well be some disease on that box that came from Amazon. Who knows who packaged that box? Who knows who touched it in the truck? Who knows if the drone that delivered it was contaminated? But Shoymer Pesoyim Hashem. Shoymer Pesoyim Hashem is part of the chelek of emuna. There has to be epis, a little mashu of emuna, even though that we think their life is in control. I was talking to someone, it's very interesting. That people, this see, doesn't apply now. But go back about 4 weeks ago. 4 weeks ago, people were still going to shul. Everyone here was still coming to the shir. People were going to shul. But already we knew something was wrong. And there were certain people that were already were ahead of the game and were already wearing masks. And were already, I was by an event and someone sneezed. And he picked himself up and left. He could not deal with, really, and like everyone was like very uncomfortable. Is he right? Is he wrong? This guy sneezed. He went crazy, picked himself up and left. And a lot of stories like, now we're all like that. Now if you sneeze, I read, you contaminate anyone within 26 feet of your sneeze. You know that? That's what they wrote on the news. If you sneeze 26 feet ahead, you just kill someone 26 feet ahead of you. You believe that? Maybe. That's what they say. I'm not denying it. So we had a discussion amongst ourselves. Who are the type of people that are going out of their mind? Define, give me a profile of the type of person. And there's no answer to this. I'll say this in 1 second. There's no answer. There's no clear answer to this. But you can text me also. You know, you can chat with me. You can send me a chat. You can send me a message. So someone said people who believe that their life is in their control. They really firmly believe they control their life. People who live a life in recognition that, you know, I have no control over my life. Those type of people, when the guy sneezes, they don't go mishuga. The people who really believe that they control every element in their life are the type of people that are going crazy. Now, I don't think it's true. I disagree with that answer, that approach, but there's something to it. There is an element of truth, a mashu of truth, that idea, that if you
believe... Something is causing an echo right now.
An echo. Something is causing an echo. Let me take a look. What's going on here? How about now?
Is it better?
Let's see. Give me 1 second.
I don't hear an echo.
Ezra Fried?
Yes, sounds fine. It's on my end.
Okay, I'm muting you all again.
I still have it.
Rabbi Chol, is there anything going on? Any other device in your house that's on? Yeah. Do you have the browser on, the website on? Do you have in your home another device that is playing the shiur? Is it playing in two places?
Let's try it now.
You had another device on?
I don't have another. All right, it's cleared up now.
Okay. Okay, let's go back. Let's go back over here to we discuss this idea of being impetuous. Let's finish up. Let's take a look over here now at the Malbim. Malbim, Pasik Hey, and Pasik Vav. Ru'u. Pasik, okay, we're almost out of time. So should have Mal Ru'u. Achar ha'hoi tso'o ha'zois maschel l'sabe gufo inyin sha'ola v'tso'eik v'chamas. Now, the Malbim tells us, starting with Pasik Hey, we're getting down to the message. Everything until now, Pasik Aleph, Beis, Gimel, Dalet was the Hakdama. Now is the message. The Ribbono shel Olam has given Nebuchadnezzar power to terrorize the world. Okay, he's saying a very powerful idea. First thing he's saying over here is, it already happened. Po'al po'el means, look around. It already happened. According to what we learned until now, according to the Radak and Rashi and the Mitzudos, you don't get that impression. The impression you get is that Chavakuk is telling the people, I know you don't believe me, but soon, in a year from now, in 5 years from now, in 10 years from now, it's going to happen. It's going to happen in your lifetime. According to the Malbim, that's not what he's saying. He's saying, guess what? It already happened. Look around. You don't realize that the influence and the power of Nebuchadnezzar has already arrived on this land. His power already spread. It's too late. There's nothing you can do to stop it. It's already here. That's a very different translation than po'el. How do you translate the words? Po'al, po'el, bimechem. According to the Radak, it appears, it will happen in your lifetime. According to the Malbim, it already has happened. What do you mean already has happened? Nebuchadnezzar, we don't have any soldiers. They haven't arrived yet. They're not here. Nebuchadnezzar is far, far away. Yeah. Physically, he's far away. But the damage is done. He already terrorized us. We already know about him. He already has had influence upon the government over here. It's already a done deal. That's a very interesting, very deep point. When you talk about different events that are happening, you have to ask you the question, did it already happen or is it going to happen? Okay, dealing with this whole crisis today, it's not will it happen. It already happened. Everything already is here. It's a question of how we're going to deal with it. Yes.
Po'el is, it is happening in the present.
Okay, so that's the big issue. Yep. Yeah.
And a po'al is a noun, an action.
Okay.
And it's not a verb.
Okay. The grammar is complex, and that's what I just skipped over the Radak. The Radak actually goes through the grammar a little bit. And the problem, though, is that when it comes to prophecy, we've learned this so many times, it doesn't matter what form it's written in. When it's written in the present, the past, or the future, there's always an answer. That in Nevuah, by Nevuah, you're looking at it from the perspective of Hashem, and by Hashem, Hoya, Hoive, V'yiyeh. So just because we may succeed in analyzing and taking apart the word, deconstructing it, find the exact grammatical form to define if it's the present, the future, or the past, it's not necessarily going to make a difference in the context of the entire pasuk and understanding if the Navi is trying to say that it will happen or it already has happened. It's happening right now. That's how the Malbim is learning. It's happening right now. There's nothing you can do to stop it. It's already happening at this moment in time. Okay, let's just finish up. He's saying another very beautiful idea, and that is Yisupar means to listen. The pasuk begins with Re'iya, see vehabitu. The Malbim over here is coming to take note that look at the beginning of the pasuk versus the end of the pasuk. The beginning of the pasuk begins Re'u va'goyim vehabitu, and it ends with Lo saminu ki yisupar. You wouldn't believe me if I told I described it to you. Einoi doime shmiya l'Re'iya. Seeing is believing. Who invented this expression? Seeing is believing. According to the Malbim, it was Chavakuk. You have to go to Wikipedia now. Wikipedia, they have a lot of these expressions. Seeing is believing. And they'll tell you the earliest source when this expression first came into being. So someone who has to become an editor of the Wikipedia online, and you have to write in your entry that this expression, seeing is believing, dates back to Chavakuk. Because the end of the pasuk, it says, Lo saminu ki yisupar. If I were to tell this to you and to describe in words what's going to happen, you wouldn't believe me. But guess what? You don't need me. To believe me. You don't have to believe in me to know. Because look with your own eyes. Re'u vagoyim vehabitu. Look and see. Vihitamuhu timohu. And be in a state of bewilderment. Ki poal poel bimechem, it's happening. And therefore, I don't need you to believe me if I'll tell you what's going to happen. You'll see it with your own eyes. Seeing is believing. Okay, that's how the Malbim learns. We even appreciate that. If not for the Malbim opening up us our eyes to appreciate that translation. Okay, one more Malbim, we're going to finish. Kis hirani mekim asakastim, sheyakumu mishefel madregosam limshol alagoyim. Who would ever imagine a bunch of low lives, the lowest of the low, would now be in a position of authority? Sometimes through diplomacy, you could have a nation that can rise to the top. They know they're smooth talkers. You have the United Nations. You have human rights. Okay, the Council of Human Rights, a committee. And who is the chairman of the Committee of Human Rights? China, North Korea. What are you joking? These people, they are leading the Committee of Human Rights. The people who have a record, a pathetic record of human rights, they are the chairman of the Committee of Human Rights? A joke. How in the world did they get there? Smooth talking. They know how to negotiate, negotiate to get the job. Not that they deserve it. That's how things happen sometimes. But here the Malbim says, Avalheim goy mar ve'achzori. But these people are not like that. They're not smooth talkers. They're bitter. They're cruel. Ulipa amim yiskaber al yidei sichloi v'tachbulo duchbolois. Av hagoy hanimar v'shoisa akol b'loi eitzo usavuna uv'chol zos u'cholich l'mer chavi eretz l'reshes l'mishkunos l'loi. This is an unusual hashkocha protest. How in the world did this low-life nation of the Kastim rise to prominence? It's not through diplomacy. It's not through smooth talking. It doesn't make one bit of sense. How did they get here? It's because the Ribbono Shel Olam put them there. Ritzono Lomar, Shederech Koiv She'arotzos L'leches L'orich Haaretz Mimitzroch L'mar B'eretz Ha'ashayach La'ak Lima Shaloi. Okay, other nations, when they conquer the nations, they only conquer nations that they have the same chemistry. Avalu Cholich Limerchavi Eretz Mitzavim L'Dorim Shainim Ma'aklim Shaloi L'Pam Yelich Al Eretz Yesh Loi Olav Eze Tainas Yerusha Me'avoisav Avalu Roitz L'Lashas Mishkunetz Loi Loi She'ein Loi Shem Taina Aleihem. Okay, so we basically summarize over here by telling us that nothing here makes a bit of sense. It doesn't make a bit of sense. He writes over here, Mishkonois loy loy. The Malbim also elaborates upon the term loy loy. In this world, we find that when one nation wants to conquer another nation, there is a reason. Talk about, was it Taiwan? Rechod will fill me in on this. Taiwan, who's trying to conquer Taiwan? They're fighting China or Japan.
China,
there's such an ugly machlokes going on with Taiwan. Who owns Taiwan? Who's proud? There's always a claim who owns. There are reasons. There are reasons that date back from time immemorial as to why one nation wants to conquer another nation. But you don't find China trying to go conquer Australia. You don't find China trying to conquer the Greenland, the North Pole, because they have no shaykhs. It's none of their business.
Yet.
Give them a chance. Okay, but generally, when you find one nation trying to conquer another nation, you can trace it to a cause, to a reason. Yet, when it comes to the Kastim, we find them trying to conquer the Merchave Eretz. They're trying to go to the North Pole. They're trying to go to Mars. They're trying to go to parts of the world that they have absolutely no connection to. These are Mishkonois loy loy. It makes no sense. How did they rise up? How in the world did they rise up to a state of prominence? At least they should be diplomatic, they should be cultured. They're nothing. They're mar, they're bitter people, they're cruel people, vehanimar, they're impetuous, which he seems to be translating that they don't know how to speak, they don't know how to conduct themselves with any dignity. How in the world do these people get where they are? And why in the world are they doing things which are totally illogical? The answer is, it's the Ritzoin HaBorei that this should happen. That's how the Malbim learns Pshat in this Pasuk. We'll now stop here. We'll take a short break and we'll continue with Inyanei Pesach in about 3-4 minutes.